We are going to talk about God's amazing grace, if you haven't figured that out by the songs we sang today. And I wanted to find out, why is God's grace so amazing? And also, what makes the word grace mean anything to me? And so we're going to look into that by many scriptures and by looking into God's word. But before we do that, let's start with a time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for giving me this opportunity, and Lord, for you to give all of us opportunity to know you and trust you as our Savior. We pray, Father, that you would be here within us, in our hearts. Touch us today with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have to earn the right to stand peacefully in God's presence? Well, many people believe that you do. The gospel message is that your salvation is through Christ alone, through Jesus, through what he did on the cross. And we're here to look at the scriptures that prove that. But what is this position that we need to hold? How do we get to the position of standing in God's grace? So we look at standing before God. It says to assume a specified position with his favor. You can stand before God without his favor, and we'll see that that's not a good place to be. First, we want to look at this idea of standing. In Acts 7:56 through 58, we're going to read about Stephen and what happened to him. It says, "And Stephen said, 'Look, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul." But why were they so upset when Stephen said that he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God? What does that mean for them to say he was standing at the right hand of God? To the people that were listening, it meant everything. For no man can possibly stand at the right hand of God, the position of favor that was the elite position of all positions you could possibly have. And Jesus, he saw Jesus standing there. They were so furious with him. That was the final straw. Nobody can stand in that position. And they went and they stoned Stephen, and that's how he died. Another case, another position of standing, and that was Moses in his position and his relationship to God. And we're going to look at Exodus 33, 17 through 23. We start with the idea that no mere man can stand before God and live. But Moses found grace in the Lord's sight. And it starts out, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.' And he said, 'Please show me your glory.' Then he said, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.' But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live.'" I'm going to stop there for a moment. That's how awesome God is. You can't even be in his presence without his favor. No man can even see his face. No human with flesh and bones can see his face and live. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me." Have you ever wanted to have a place that the Lord would say, "Here is your place, a place of favor, a place I'm going to show you my grace, because without my favor, you can't stand there, you can't be there, It's up to me to allow you to be there, to give you the favor that it takes for you to be in my presence. He says, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Can you imagine a God that awesome that he would take Moses, a man, and say, here's a place for you, a place of favor. I'm going to show my grace to you. You have found grace in my sight. I'm going to let you stand on that rock in this place, and I'm going to pass by, but you can't look at my face. I'm too awesome for you to even look at, or you will die. Have you ever wanted to be in a place that a place of honor, a place of favor, and especially with God? That's what grace is about. Grace is unearned favor. Undeserved favor. An offering by God. And only God can put you in that place. You can't put yourself in that place. Only God can put you there. Now, what happens when you stand before God without his grace, without his favor? Well, the Bible talks about that too. In Revelation 20:12, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the second death. They were outside of God's favor. What had happened? Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Without favor, the great white throne judgment is the place that we're referring to here. He opens the book of works. He checks out the works that you've done. He looks, opens up the book of life. And is your name written there? If not, what's referred to as the second death happens. And is that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Now, with God's favor, if your name is written in the book of life, with grace and unmerited, unearned favor, we will be standing before Christ in the judgment seat of Christ. But our works will be judged, whether we have done good or bad, but the idea is there for reward's sake. It's not to judge whether you are saved or not, as we would say. It's to be judged whether your works were worthy and that they would be rewarded. Your works would be rewarded for the things that you've done while here on the earth. All people will stand before God, but what position will you hold when you stand there? What was the final decision making? Their works, the works that they did, or whether their name was in the book of life? Think about that. So, when we talk about God's unearned, undeserved favor, we want to be careful that we're not saying to you and to me that there's nothing for us to do as Christians. We want to make sure that we're not saying or making people believe that we're just going to be Christians and that's all that matters and nothing else matters. For we want to look at things in this way. I have recently talked to Jericho about this, and I think it's a good way to look at it. You say you are a hunter. Do you hunt? You say that you are a fisherman. Do you fish? You say you are a Christian. What do you do? You see, it's pretty simple when you look at it that way. What do you do as a Christian? What does it mean? I don't just exist as a Christian, but what do I do now that I'm a disciple of Christ? Well, we got to look into God's word to find out. And I'm not going to give you a long, detailed list because the Bible's full of things that we should be doing. But let's look at a few. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." That's in Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And he says, "You gave me food. You gave me drink. You took me in. You clothed me. You visited me when I was sick. You came to me in prison." Those are some of the things that Jesus expects us to do. And then in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we know that is the end of the book of Matthew. He says, "Make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all my commandments." So I decided to shorten that a bit. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them. Now you figure out the details of how to do that, because you have a different life that you live here. In America, we live differently than maybe someone else, but we have to figure out those details. But the idea is that we make disciples, that we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we teach them. And what does he say to teach them? The commandments that Jesus gave us. So, where do we go from there? We look at some of the commandments that Jesus gave us. So we look through the scriptures. In John 14, 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Okay? If you say that you're a Christian, back to our are you a Christian? You say you're a Christian? Well, what do we do? He says, "If you love me and you're a Christian, keep my commandments." John 15, 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Okay, bearing fruit, doing the works that he has called us to do. In John 15, 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So what's the example? What are we to be doing? To love as Jesus loved, to love our neighbor, to love our community, to love people. One of the hardest things that God has ever commanded us to do. Because I know you and I know me. And sometimes it's a struggle to love someone, to truly care for them and give them a place in your life when you don't like them. Or to love them when you don't like them. And you maybe some of the practices that they're of their life are difficult for you to deal with, to put up with. But he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And of course, the question would be, how has Jesus loved us? And we just looked at some of those scriptures, and some of those are these things, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I'm sorry, but that puts the bar really high. And so while we were sinners, while we were ugly and stained with sin, Jesus died for us. So that puts the bar really high for us to do our best to love those around us. Love the unlovable. And Jesus certainly had to prove that to us and demonstrate that to us. In Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He has not burdened us with a new covenant of laws and rules and regulations. He has commandments, but those commandments are not so heavy and so burdensome as what has been in the past. So we don't want to develop those things again. We want to stay free as we are set free by God, but we want to be free to love and free to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. Now, amazing grace. Now you can stand in his presence. His mercy, his love sent him to the cross. The question is, have you believed, trusted in, relied on, and adhered to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for forgiveness of sins? That's the real question. In order to avoid standing before God without his favor, you have to have received Christ to receive this favor, to receive this grace that we talk about, that we sing about, that we read about. Grace is that unearned, undeserved favor of God. This is God's offer of grace, his unearned favor for your standing position with God. Your position with God. You can't stand before God. You can't be in his presence. You can't be with his people without this favor. You can't get there on your own efforts, by your own will, by your own desire. You have to get there by putting your faith in Jesus. And now we get to the scriptures that were read by Melvin today, and we break them down a little bit and try to understand them a little bit. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For first, again, you're going to have this memorized. I hope you'll never forget this, that grace is unearned, unmerited favor. So by God's favor, you have been saved through faith. By God's choice, by God's desire, that you have put your faith in Jesus for your salvation. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, not of anything that you can do. Lest anyone should boast, lest anybody should brag that I'm better, that I'm more righteous, that I'm more pure. No, we all are under Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, the created for the good works that he had already mentioned, that we'd already talked about. We were created in Christ Jesus to do those good works, those things that he commanded us. In Romans 3, 22 through 24, it says, even the righteousness of God. Now, wait a minute. What does righteousness mean before God? It has to do, like Moses was able to stand in Jesus, in God the Lord, it says, presence. And that he had God's favor. Well, righteousness is like saying in right standing with God, that you are able to be there because God allows you to be there in right standing with him. And he says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we need to be put there by God because we're all in the same position. None of us can get there by our own righteousness. Being justified freely by his grace, unearned, undeserved favor, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redemption, what does that mean? Redemption, to preserve by paying a price, to free from the consequences of sin, to convert into something of value. That's what being redeemed, to be redeemed, redemptive power of Christ. He turns us, he changes us, he paid the price for us, he redeemed us. So he bought us, he cleaned us up with his blood, and now we can be in God's presence. In Galatians 2:16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified or declared righteous, made upright, or in right standing with God by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. When you say Jesus Christ, remember that you're saying Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Don't think of Jesus Christ as just being his name. He's more than just a name. It's a great name, but remember what's behind the name. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified or declared righteous by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh, no person will be declared righteous or can be in God's presence, in his standing before him, by the works of the law. So it doesn't matter what law it is, there's nobody that can get there by that method. In Galatians 2:21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness, right standing with God, comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Why would Jesus have gone to the cross if you can get to the Father, if you can get into that place of favor, that right standing with God, some other way? Why would he have gone to the cross for that reason? He would have never gone to the cross if you could just earn your way, deserve your way, by your own efforts, by your own works. He would have never done it. But he did do it. And that means that we should put our focus, we should put all we have into what he did for us and ask him to forgive us and ask him to save us, to ask him to put us into that place of favor before God, in right standing with God. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, if you didn't know it, Paul wrote all this, and he was fully convinced that we have to approach God this way, that we have to approach this place, this right standing, because you know what he had done all his life? He had worked toward that goal, and he never achieved it. The righteousness which is from God by faith. So we need to strive for that place of standing with God. But we need to do that through Jesus. And we will all make it there. We will all stand with Moses in God's presence, in God's favor, through Jesus, our Lord. Let's close. In Jesus' name, we pray that we have understood and know that God is a God that has offered this favor to us. We only need to receive it through Jesus and what he did on the cross, where he is now at the right hand of God, interceding for us and pleading for us in our case. We thank you, Father, for this offer, this amazing grace that you've offered to all of us. Help us to receive it today. Help us to know it and understand it today. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.